Safe Person, a Marvel fic written by 42 Do Not Panic and read by 42 Do Not Panic as the narrator.
Wynn as Bucky Barnes.
Striped Scribe as Clint Barton.
Vivi Pye as Charles Xavier.
Mist Marauder as Eric Lyncher.
Literarian as Peter Parker.
Semper Fiona as Eddie Brock.
Chaos Kiro as Claire Temple.
Flower Parish as James Rhodes.
Dr. Fumbles McStupid as Matt Murdock.
15 as Foggy Nelson.
Boss Assault as Wynn.
Ash as Natasha Romanoff.
Jap as Steve Rogers.
Co-Prime as Maria Hill.
AU of Gold and Fantasies as Kate Bishop.
Hyvick as Yelena.
Scorch as Tony Stark.
Tough Paper End as Pepper Potts.
This fic is rated mature. Summary. Bucky Barnes is known by many in the city as the person who saves and supports not just the heroes, but also every other queer. Author's note. This fic is written for the Writer's Pride Month Bingo 2024. Every chapter is one of my 9 prompts, the prompts being the respective chapter titles. It's one more or less continuous story, written from Bucky's point of view and placed during and after the Avengers Pride Party, about 5 years after the previous year's story. Chapter 1. Activism.
Clinton Francis Barton.
Bucky's voice was warning and loud in the nearly empty bar on a Thursday afternoon.
Please tell me you did not bring your baby into my bar.
I'm not here to stay.
Clint assured them quietly, raising one hand while the other, which was wrapped in a combination of white athletic tape and purple KT tape, was carefully supporting the head of the baby wrapped close to his chest.
But I need to talk to you about the party, and I can't just leave a 2-month outside now, can I?
Bucky rolled their eyes but nodded.
Fine, but only because there's barely anyone here.
They nodded to one of the tables closest to the bar. Warning.
This is an exception.
Yeah, I'm not planning on making this a habit.
Then scoffed, dropping the diaper bag he was carrying slung over one shoulder to the floor.
The whole idea of this is to give her a better childhood than Matt and I had.
I'm sure you will.
Bucky smiled, watching Clint softly talk to the newborn when she started fuzzing as soon as he sat down.
Shh, it's okay. I'm still here. We just gotta talk with Bucky for a moment.
He muttered, rocking his daughter softly until she calmed down again.
There we go, sweetie. Everything's alright.
And Clint looked up. Bucky had a fond smile on their face.
She doesn't like it when I sit down.
Clint shrugged carefully.
Most babies don't. It's in their instincts.
She knows you're there to protect her.
Bucky offered, still smiling.
I would do anything for her.
Clint nodded. For a moment, they were both quiet before Bucky remembered where Clint had brought the baby to their bar.
You wanted to talk to me about Bucky?
Yeah, right.
Clint nodded.
Tony wants to go all out again like he does every year. The public part with speeches and stuff, the after-show party with special guests, all that.
You do?
Bucky guessed. Frowning.
Buck, we have a baby now.
Clint softly stroked the deep purple baby wrap and sighed.
As much as I love those parties, we already have our hands full. Between Matt's job, Daredevil, and Hawkeye, and her...
He gestured to the baby again.
And just general life. We don't have the time or the energy for that anymore.
Bucky nodded understandingly.
And we're not the only ones. I mean, when's the last time Pete and Eddie were here? They're not even in New York half the time. Yelena and Kate are busy... Pep, Tony, and Steve had a toddler at home, and Bruce is so into his research that I'm not even sure he leaves his lab anymore. We just all don't have time for this anymore.
Bucky nodded again, looking around the bar for a moment.
But doesn't that just give us so much more reason that we should have a big party like we always do?
They asked, leaning on the table.
We still should change a few things to make sure it works for everyone. But I think that especially now that we're all moving on in our lives, we should keep that big tradition that always brings us together. It's queer pride. That's one thing we will always have between us, no matter how busy our lives are getting. And it's one thing that will always be important.
Clint nodded slowly.
Huh. Maybe you're right. I hadn't looked at it from that angle yet.
Being queer will always connect us. Until we know that every last queer person out there is safe and gets the same chance at a happy life that we have.
They gestured to the baby again.
That Jackie has. Our job here is not done.
Yeah, you're right.
Clint nodded.
It will always change, just like our lives do. But it will always be a part of our story.
Bucky got up when one of the other customers came up to the bar.
Give me a moment.
Clint nodded and Bucky went back behind the bar while the archer turned his attention to his daughter.
Hi, can I get another round?
Charles asked, setting a tray with 2 empty glasses on the wheelchair-height part of the bar.
Sure, same again?
Bucky asked, washing the glasses and refilling them with Coke when the mutant agreed. After taking them and setting the tray back on his lap, Charles hesitated for a moment, then wheeled over to the table Clint and his daughter were sitting at instead of going back to his own husband.
Yes, I know, a baby has no business being a bar professor. I'll be gone just as soon as I finish talking to Bucky.
If you knew all the inappropriate places we have been with kids.
Charles waved him off, only half joking.
No, but actually, I'm here because I couldn't help but overhear that you were thinking about changing things up with the Venter's Pride Party.
Yeah, we're discussing it.
Clint turned a little defensive, as the only pride party that was more popular and well-known was the one the X-Men held at the mansion every year.
We're actually doing the same,
Charles said, rolling closer to the table and gesturing to the free bench.
Do you mind if we join you?
A second later, Eric appeared behind his partner and sat down in the booth as soon as Clint nodded.
We're still going to have the gala,
Eric continued where Charles had left off.
That has been running very successfully for many years, and we get a lot of donations and positive press for both queer and mutant causes every year. We're not going to stop that.
Bucky joined Clint on his side of the booth, quietly setting another Coke and a coffee for Clint down on the table.
But we have been thinking about joining efforts with Avengers and the other heroes of New York, not just in fighting and protecting the city, as we would have been doing for the past months, but also for social events like this.
Charles explained, a soft smile playing around his lips as he watched Clint continue to soothe his daughter.
Of course. That would also include the fact that you are all explicitly invited to the gala at the mansion.
I mean, you're going to have to talk to Tony, Steve and Pepper about this. They're the ones who actually do most of the planning and can make a decision like that. But I personally would be very open to that idea.
Bucky nodded, setting their glass down after taking a sip.
We should also definitely talk about having regular small events here again, once we're all a little bit less busy again.
Hmm?
Clint asked, slightly distracted as Jerky started to fuss again.
You're planning events here? That would be really cool.
We talked about it before, but never ended up actually making plans.
Bucky shrugged one-sidedly, watching Clint and Jackie with a hint of worry.
Is she okay? Do you need anything?
It's okay, she's probably just hungry. It's time for your bottle soon, isn't it, sweetie?
He offered her his finger as a temporary solution.
Can you give me my bag?
Bucky nodded, handing the bag over and watching Clint get a bottle with formula from it.
We're not telling Daddy that you had your first drink in a bar today.
Clint told the little girl, shaking the bottle and shifting Jackie so she could take it. Once the baby was happily taking her bottle, Charles continued.
We were talking about doing different theme nights. Maybe we could invite local bands or do workshops if people are interested.
Clint nodded, looking between his daughter and the other three adults as they continued the conversation.
I'm pretty sure we have a few people who would be interested in doing drag if there was an opportunity. So maybe that could be a fun thing to offer.
Bucky suggested.
I know a few people who have done beginner workshops about drag before. I could ask them to do one here.
How about we get back to this idea after Pride Month?
Clint suggested, suppressing a yawn.
Because of this beauty, I still have more errands to run before I fall asleep sitting up.
Right, sorry.
Bucky blushed, humming for a moment and nudging Clint's coffee cup closer to him.
So, if you want, I can get you in contact with Tony and Pep, and you can talk about the plans with them.
They suggested while throwing a glance at the door when a customer entered.
I'll be right with you.
They waved, then finished their cola.
Is your number still the same?
Charles nodded.
I'll make Tony text you, probably sometime this week.
Sounds good.
Charles nodded.
Thank you, Bucky.
Bucky nodded, getting up and helping their customer. For a moment, Charles and Eric stayed at the table, quietly looking at each other as they had a conversation using Charles's powers. After a short goodbye, they left for their own table again, and when Jackie had finished her bottle and Clint had said goodbye to Bucky as well, he left with his daughter. Chapter 2. Youth.
Hey, Spiderling.
Bucky hopped off his step stool where they had just tucked away a box with spare light bulbs while cleaning up after the last customer of the night had left.
You don't look good, buddy. What happened?
Peter shook his head, groaning slightly with pain and signing menacingly with one hand still covered in a bloody glove.
Mute.
He took a step closer, heavily favoring his right leg. With the color of their costumes, it was always harder to tell just how hurt Peter or Matt were, but in this specific instance, Bucky could clearly smell the blood on the young man.
That's okay. Is it okay if I touch you? Get that costume off. Take a look at you.
Bucky asked, carefully stepping closer and guiding Peter to a booth out of the direct view of the door without touching him. This time, Peter nodded, pulling his mask off and revealing a freshly forming bruise and two deep, still bleeding cuts, one on his cheek and the other one through his bottom lip.
Jesus, Pete.
Bucky cursed, softly supporting the young hero as he dropped onto the bench.
Alright, I'll call Eddie and Claire, and we're gonna make sure you're okay, buddy.
Bucky told him. This time, Peter's reaction was slower, and with his face no longer covered, Bucky could clearly tell how much every movement hurt him.
Okay, I'm getting you some ice and water, my first aid kit, and a change of clothes.
Bucky told him, not waiting for a reaction before walking to the front of the bar to flip the side of the door and then getting everything they needed from the bar. On the way, they called the night nurse, quickly giving her all the details she needed, and once they were back at the table, they dialed Eddie's number. Eddie answered, the call having pulled him from sleep.
I've got your boyfriend here. He got his pretty face all banged up. I think he messed up his leg again.
Bucky told the reporter.
He's also nonverbal.
He went after that stupid gang. Can he hear me?
And Claire will be here any moment, so you might want to swing by and at least make sure that he gets home safely.
Eddie groaned.
You're on speaker. I need my hands.
Bucky answered, carefully unzipping and unclipping the suit further and revealing more bruises and injuries.
He's not wearing a binder, so that's something.
You went after that gang, didn't you?
Eddie answered, a mixture of annoyed anger and worry in his voice.
Venom and I told you to wait until we could go together.
He sighed.
Hang in there, okay? I'll be there as fast as I can.
Drive carefully.
Bucky warned.
Venom will know. It doesn't help anyone if you crash your bike.
They took a look at the collection of Peter's injuries, deciding that none of the cuts were deep enough that they needed to be taken care of immediately. Instead, Bucky got a bowl of warm water and a few clean cloths, starting to carefully wipe away the blood that had made it to the suit and the trails where Peter's cuts were still bleeding a little.
Here, hold that against your lip until Claire decides what to do about it.
They handed Peter an ice pack wrapped in another cloth, both to catch the blood and to help with swelling.
You may want to take a few days off, buddy.
Bucky sighed, softly shifting Peter's head to check if they had missed any injuries.
Your face is going to be mostly blue and red for a while.
Peter gave a small nod. He was still not speaking, but since he was carefully taking sips of water, was following instructions, and seemed otherwise alert, Bucky wasn't too worried about it. This was just something his brain did when he was overwhelmed. By the time Claire came into the bar, Bucky had cleaned most of the blood of their patient, and Peter was holding an ice pack against his face and another against his knee that had been giving him trouble for a while.
Same knee again?
Claire asked with a slight teasing tone to her voice, even as her expression was all worry. Peter just nodded, looking at her past the edge of the fabric that was pressing against the right side of his face.
If you're not careful, you'll need surgery next time, Pete.
She sighed, getting on the floor and taking a look at his knee.
Could you still walk?
Peter nodded again and let Claire examine his leg.
You got lucky. Again.
She told him, warning.
Wear your damn brace for 5 weeks, at least. And if you have any problems, go to a real doctor. If you damage this even more, it won't just be the end of Spider-Man. Being able to walk without crutches is pretty handy for being a photographer as well.
Peter nodded, following Claire's movements with his good eye as he checked the other cuts and bruises on his legs, then up his torso and arms.
None of these look too bad. Even your ribs seem like they're all intact.
She sounded surprised.
You took most of the hits in your face, didn't you?
Peter nodded, slowly lowering his right hand and revealing the two lacerations and the swelling and bruises.
Jesus!
Claire sighed, almost the exact moment the door opened again and Eddie walked in.
How bad is it?
He asked, quickly walking across the room, arm already reaching for his partner.
Hey, baby, what did they do to your pretty face, huh?
Peter looked up at him again, tears shooting in his eyes and his mouth falling open in a silent answer.
Shh, it's okay, I'm here.
He looked at Claire and Bucky.
How bad?
He got lucky.
Claire told him, shooing Eddie to the side so she could take a closer look at the two gashes.
The knee will end much worse if he doesn't take a step back. But for now, it'll just need some rest.
She carefully prodded at Peter's face, checking for fractures and gently pulling his swollen eyelids apart to check for reaction in his right eye.
I don't think he has any internal injuries. This will just take a while for the swelling to go down. The only thing that I'm worried about is this cut.
She gestured to Peter's lip.
It needs stitches, and it will probably leave at least a small scar.
Peter shrugged one-sidedly, throwing Eddie a glance.
I don't think Pete really cares about that.
Eddie chuckled, relieved. He ran a hand through Peter's sweaty hair, then rested it on his shoulder.
I know I sure don't. I'm just glad he's okay.
Claire nodded, getting a suture kit and starting to work on closing the cut.
There. That doesn't look too bad now. Does it?
She asked after a long moment.
I'm not a plastic surgeon, but...
It's perfect, Claire.
Eddie disagreed.
Thank you.
Our heroes would all look a lot less handsome without your help.
Bucky offered, setting a tray with each of their favorite drinks on the table.
Most of them would be a lot less alive.
Claire chuckled, taking her drink.
I'll drink to all of you staying that way.
Me too.
Eddie agreed, taking one of the cocktails and handing the second to Peter.
To the heroes in the background.
Chapter 3. Fear.
James, my dear.
Bucky pulled a free chair up to Rhodey's table and sat backwards on it.
Why so gloomy? It's Pride Month.
Tony asked what I wanted my suit to look like.
He sighed, staring into his glass and watching the ice cubes move around in it.
You don't like the sunset fog anymore?
Becky asked, teasing him slightly.
Buck, it's not that, and you know it.
James looked up, and Becky could see his jaw working.
Pride is for everyone.
They told him gently, offering a soft smile.
That doesn't just mean every sexuality, every gender, and every romantic orientation. It means every person. You don't have to put on a show to be welcome there.
They threw a glance at his legs and his wheelchair.
Just like you don't have to be here.
This is different, Buck.
Jim scoffed.
This is just a bar, and here I'm just a guy. At the party, I'm Colonel Rhodes. I'm an Avenger, a hero.
You're still Rhodey, even in the suit or in your uniform.
Bucky told him.
It's your decision what makes you comfortable and what doesn't. If you want to wear the suit or the braces, then you should do that. If you don't and you want to use a wheelchair, then you should do that.
You've seen the press. You know what they said after the crash, and what they said when I was getting back on my feet, both literally and figuratively. You know what they say every time there's a picture of me in the chair. They blame me every time something goes wrong on a mission I was a part of, Bucky.
I know that, James.
Bucky softly rested the hand on his arm.
But we both know that none of those things are true. We both know that you're just as good at your job as you've always been.
They sighed again.
You've been here every night for weeks, drinking nearly as much as Tony used to. And maybe, if it's eating at you this much, it's time to do something about it. To show the world that you're the same man you've always been, walking or not.
I just don't know if I can.
Rhodey sighed.
I don't have the guts to go out there and just take the criticism and hate.
You think we do?
Becky scoffed softly and ran a hand through their hair.
You may not have been here for most of them, but I'm sure you've heard of all the panic attacks people had in here about getting out into the press. We're all freaking out about the bad reactions to any sort of coming out. But we also all have each other's backs. We catch each other when we fall.
James scoffed, wheeling backwards and gesturing for his motionless legs.
Really? That metaphor? To the guy who was paralyzed because he was shot out of the sky and none of the flying superheroes were fast enough to catch him?
Becky joined his laugh, blushing and running a hand through their hair.
All right, bad choice of words.
They apologized.
But the message is true. We're here. And that's not just about coming out as queer. It's about everything else just as much.
I'll think about it, Bucky.
James sighed, wheeling up to the table again and finishing his drink.
It's not as easy as everyone tells you it is.
No, it's not. I'm not saying it is easy.
Bucky agreed.
I'm saying we're behind you. No matter what decision you make, no matter how bad the reactions from the public are.
Later that night, after the bar had filled and was starting to empty again, Matt Murdock stumbled into the bar.
Matty, aren't you supposed to be at home with your boyfriend and your adorable baby girl,
Becky asked, crossing the room quickly and catching Matt stumbling with a strong arm around his waist.
How much did you have to drink?
It's not that much.
Matt slurred, stumbling as he tried to get away from the touch before he realized it was Becky.
I couldn't get him to stop.
Becky appeared behind them, holding Matt's cane.
He's freaking out. I didn't want to take him home like that.
Is that right, Matty?
Becky asked him quietly, gently but determinedly pushing him into a booth and throwing a glance at his friend to tell him to make sure he stayed.
We'll get you some water, and then we'll see what we can do about that, huh?
Matt didn't react, but Foggy slid into the bench next to him and nodded. A moment later, Becky came back to the table with two glasses of water.
All right.
They sat on the free bench opposite Matt and lightly pushed one glass into his hand.
Drink. And then tell me what happened.
We're gonna mess her up.
Matt was close to tears when he finished the water and lifted his head so he was facing Becky.
Look at Clint. Look at me. We'll mess her.
Buddy, I told you.
Foggy started, but Becky caught him off with a light touch to his arm before taking Matt's hand into theirs.
Why do you think that?
Becky asked gently, giving Matt time when he didn't answer immediately.
We don't know how to do this. We didn't have a good childhood. We weren't even good at being girls. I don't want her to end up like us.
The lawyer pulled his hand back, wrapping one arm around the top surgery scars on his chest and tracing the other over his hip and his self-harm scars.
I don't want her to get hurt.
Right.
Bucky pulled his attention back to them but didn't pull his hands back.
Tell me about your dad. Tell me the first thing you remember.
He protected me.
Matt said, taking a shaky breath.
He protected me when the other kids at school hurt me. He always protected me.
Now that sounds like a pretty good father to come after.
Becky smiled, watching as Matt's posture relaxed ever so slightly.
And now tell me what you would do if Jackie got bullied at school.
I'd protect her.
Matt muttered.
We'd protect her.
What would you do if she was upset about something?
Becky continued, studying Matt and slowly showing him his worries were unwarranted.
I'd tell her everything would be okay.
Matt muttered.
And I'd make sure it would be.
And what would you do if she asked you a question about being a girl that you didn't have an answer for? what she didn't want to talk to you about.
Bucky started gently redirecting his hands away from his scars. Matt hesitated a moment before he answered this time, and when he did, his voice was shaking a little.
I'd asked who she wants to talk to. And then I would call someone who can answer her questions, and who will take care of her in the ways I can't.
Sweetheart.
Bucky softly took Matt's hand into theirs again and stroked her thumb over his skin.
The fact that you're so worried about your daughter, that you're having a panic attack about it, shows just how much you care about her. And the fact that you can answer all these questions, without even having to think about them, shows that you had the right instincts. You're good dads. Even if Clint's parents weren't, your dad never had a chance to be there for you the way he wanted to. We'll find a way to do this right. And you have a whole damn city here to help you when you're out of your depth. Jackie will be fine. She'll be more than fine with two so loving and caring parents as Clint and you.
Matt sniffled a little but nodded.
You got this, Matt. You're doing a good job. And now go home, take a shower, and then cuddle your happy little baby girl. It'll make you feel better.
Chapter 4. Representation. On the day of the party, Bucky arrived early. As one of the official partners of the party, their bar was represented all over the room, and while Bucky wasn't working at the event, they still wanted to make sure that everything went smoothly and offer a hand where they could. As almost every year, Bucky had picked a flowy dress that reached just below their knee. The fabric was black, with swirly patterns in yellow and purple and details in white and gray. They were wearing heavy boots and had their hair braided to one side in a full side cut and were wearing subtle makeup that matched the colors of their flags. Tony, Steve, and Pepper, the three who did most of the planning and organizing for the event, were already working as well. Like every year, Pepper was wearing a plain dress. This year, it was dark green, contrasting nicely with her hair and makeup. Tony and Steve had their pride versions of their costumes ready, even if they only put on the colorful suit showing off all their flags just before the official part of the party started. The reminding Avengers were the first to arrive. Bruce was in purple and gray, black and white, keeping to the sides and nursing mocktails most of the nights, still worried about making a mistake even after many, many successful events. Thor brought the other Asgardians, all of them covered in bright fabrics and paint, bringing life to the party even when the room was still fairly empty. Sam in his gay-colored flight suit, America and Carol in lesbian-colored costumes, and Shuri in asexual colors joined the others, and shortly later, the Guardians of the Galaxy and the Defenders, whose colorful costumes were covered in just as much merchandise, pins, and trinkets as the rest of the room and Bucky's bar combined. Kate and Yelena were wearing crop tops and short skirts, most of their skin covered in matching, painted patterns, and flags knotted around their necks. Peter and Eddie were following a similar route as Clint, Natasha, and Maria since their identities had become public. All of them wore mostly black clothes that showed off a fair amount of skin. Peter had swapped his binder for red trans tape, and Clint was proudly showing off his scars that were finally healed enough that he didn't have to keep them covered in the sun anymore. For the first time, some of the X-Men joined the party as well. Some had opted to keep their masks and costumes as well, while others were in anything from formal to casual clothes and showed off their identities in different colors and symbols. Chapter 5. Pink. With every new person, every guest, but especially every young queer who was maybe not quite sure about their own identity themselves, or he didn't have the courage to come out to their friends and family yet, Bucky saw their eyes flick between the heroes, between their colors and flags. They saw the insecurity turn into a smile as they recognized their flags and people they were looking up to.
Hey, you look a little lost.
Bucky carefully walked up to a kid who was standing alone close to the door and biting their lip nervously.
You want something to drink?
The kid, Bucky would have guessed they were about 20 years old, flinched slightly, then looked up at Bucky, their eyes going wide with surprise as they realized the ex-soldier was talking to them.
You okay?
Bucky tilted their head and studied the kid for a moment, then noticed a pair of cochlear implants peeking out under pink hair.
The music's pretty overwhelming, isn't it?
They asked, signing now as well.
You know ASL?
The kid answered, also signing.
Yeah, I know a lot of languages.
Bucky shrugged.
Naturally, most of the team knows ASL.
The kid looked up at Bucky worriedly again and gave a small nod, still biting their lip.
We have an area back there. Where it's a bit quieter and more sensory-friendly. Do you want me to show you?
The kid nodded again, following Bucky along the wall and through a door to the next room, where there were couches and the music and lights were more muted.
There we go. This is a bit better, isn't it?
Bucky offered a smile and dropped into one of the couches.
Yeah, it's better,
the kid offered, hesitating a moment but sitting down as well when Bucky patted the fabric next to them.
Do you want to tell me your name?
Bucky asked.
And maybe what pronouns I can use for you.
Win.
The kid, Win, spelled, then showed Bucky their sign name.
I use they, them.
Nice to meet you, Win. I'm Bucky. I use they, them too.
Bucky smiled.
And if you need anything tonight, you can come find me and I'll take care of it.
Thank you.
Win smiled weakly.
I appreciate that. I don't know anyone here.
How old are you, buddy?
Bucky asked, studying them again.
20?
They were worried again.
But I thought...
No, don't worry. This part of the party is open to everyone. A bunch of the others even brought their kids.
Bucky answered quickly.
No, I'm asking, because I have a bar.
They pulled a small card from their pocket and handed it to the kid.
How about you come by sometime when you're 21? There's a bunch of queer folks who would be more than happy to get to know you.
Chapter 6. Agenda.
Bucky?
Natasha and Maria had walked up to them, and both agents looked uncharacteristically nervous and shy.
Can we borrow you for a moment?
Yeah, sure.
Bucky turned back to Bruce and Steve with an apologetic expression.
Do you mind if we continue this later?
No, not at all.
Steve answered, and Bruce nodded, agreeing with the captain.
Thanks, guys.
Bucky got up, following Maria, who had her arms slung loosely around her partner's waist. They made their way to the apartment the two agents shared and where they had gotten ready for the party earlier. There was still makeup and a few trinkets lying around, but Bucky noticed something else almost immediately as they entered the living room. There was a pride flag hanging over the back of an armchair, with black, gray, and white stripes on the outside and a green one down the middle. Bucky smiled, already guessing what this was all about, but wanting to let Natasha take the lead.
What can I do for you?
I need your backup.
Natasha told them, her voice cracking a little.
I'm going to do a thing, and I have no idea how the people react, and it terrifies me.
Thing.
Bucky asked gently, stepping closer and resting the hands on Natasha's shoulders.
What kind of thing?
I'm going to jump in at the deep end.
Natasha looked up at Bucky, taking a shaky breath.
I talked with Pepper. I'm going to tell the world, so I don't have to tell anyone.
It's about that, isn't it?
They nodded their head to the flag still hanging over the chair.
Yeah.
Natasha nodded.
I'm not a woman, Bucky. But I'm not like you either.
You're agender.
Bucky nodded, smiling softly.
I'm agender.
Natasha nodded.
I've never felt like a woman. Not since.
Maria walked up closer behind them, resting a hand on Natasha's back.
You're my gnat.
What do you need me to do?
Bucky asked, slowly letting go of their friend and letting her move closer to Maria.
Do you want me to stand by your side and look threatening?
I can look threatening on my own.
Natasha chuckled, glaring at Bucky without much heed.
I just need you there so I'm not alone.
You're not alone, no.
Bucky promised, carefully picking up the flag and handing it to its owner.
Show the world who you are. You deserve to finally be seen.
Chapter 7. Adoption.
God, I'm so futz and tired.
Flint groaned, all but collapsing against the wall between Bucky and Matt as the night was slowly dying down.
I'm getting too old for parties like this.
Some of the others are already up on the roof.
Bucky told him, handing both Clint and Matt a bottle of water.
We're all not getting any younger.
Hey, at least you still have a sleep schedule.
Matt muttered, slurring slightly and giving up, signing halfway through the sentence.
I don't know when the last time I slept more than 2 hours in a row was. Probably before we got Jackie.
I miss her.
Clint muttered sadly, gliding down the wall and sitting on the floor.
Hey, no sitting on the sticky party floor.
Bucky scolded him gently, offering Clint their metal hand to pull him back to his feet.
You boys should go get Jackie and go on up to the roof with the others. The party is dying down anyway.
I'm drunk.
Matt noted, his head tilted a little, but his blank expression clearly showed that he wasn't paying attention to anything in particular.
I don't want
to
hurt her.
You're a gentle drunk.
Bucky chuckled fondly.
You're all sappy and soft and sleepy. You're not going to hurt her.
They gently herded Clint and Matt out of the main room and along the hall to the elevator.
We're going
to
find a nice spot on the roof, and I'll make sure she's safe. I promise.
You're the best girl parent ever.
Clint told Bucky.
I wish I had someone like you when I was young.
He looked over to Matt and studied him for a moment.
I wish my dad had been like you when he was drunk.
Aww. Matt all but squeaked. The fact that his uniform was entirely pride-colored not helping the surreal combination of dangerous and adorable.
What did I say?
Bucky asked, gently pushing both of them through the door and into the temporary daycare across the hall from the elevator.
You're a sappy drunk. I've seen you like this more than enough times. You're not gonna hurt her.
Matt smiled softly, nodding absentmindedly and immediately steering to where he could sense their daughter. A few minutes later, the four had joined many of the other heroes on the roof. As was tradition by then, Tony had ordered pizza and everyone had a drink close by. Pepper was already sitting against a wall with Morgan sleeping on her lap. Next to her, for the first time, were Charles and Eric. The professor discarded his wheelchair and was sitting and leaning against his husband, a soft smile on his lips, and a bottle of soda in his hand. Magneto had a half-empty glass of scotch next to him, and his hand was softly tracing over his husband's back as they were deep in conversation. Next to Charles' wheelchair was Rhodey's, and the Colonel was sitting a few feet away, leaning casually against Bruce's. Both of them were listening to Tony, who was talking about one of his newest improvements to the War Machine armor. Bucky, Clint, Matt, and Jackie joined Peter, Eddie, Kate, and Yelena on the other side of the roof.
God, she is so freaking cute!
Peter all but squealed instead of a greeting as Matt carefully sat down against the wall.
She's just the best.
Clint agreed, resting his arm around his boyfriend's shoulders and pushing the bunker Jackie was wrapped in out of the way of her face a little.
I could just spend all day looking at that cute little face.
I'm so glad everything finally worked out for you. You guys have been waiting so long.
Eddie smiled, resting his arm around Peter, who had his injured leg elevated on a pillow, and brushing a quick kiss on his lips when he turned in his direction. Chapter 8. Hope. Over time, as Matt started to shift from drunk to overstimulated again, Clint shifted from cuddling Matt and their daughter to leaning tiredly against Bucky, with the bartender softly tracing their hands through his hair.
You're warm.
Clint muttered, nuzzling his head against her shoulder and humming happily.
Perks of being a super soldier, darling.
Bucky chuckled.
But it's starting to get a little cold out here, and you're not wearing a lot of fabric.
I like my clothes.
Clint pouted, straightening his fishnet shirt and pulling on the edges of the vest he was wearing over it.
They're comfy. They're very nice.
Matt told him, softly resting a hand on Clint's leg.
But Bucky is right. It's getting cold out here.
You're annoying.
Clint grumbled.
Could you get me another blanket? I don't want Jackie to get too cold.
Matt instructed Clint while also giving him an excuse to get himself something warmer to wear as well.
Can you get us one too?
Kate asked when Yelena nudged her softly. A few moments later, Clint came back, wrapped in one of Bucky's oversized hoodies and carrying a stack of blankets. He dropped most of them on a table, gave one to Kate, and wrapped the other around Matt's shoulders.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Matt told him, lightly pulling him down and brushing a kiss on his lips. Clint muttered something indistinguishable, plopping back onto the ground and leaning against Bucky as soon as they offered it.
Come here, darling.
Bucky chuckled, wrapping their metal arm around his shoulders and gently pulling the jacket close in the front.
You look good in my jacket.
Stop flirting with my baby daddy.
Matt chuckled, checking Jackie's bottle and shifting it so she could get the last bit of formula.
What's the story with you three, by the way?
Eddie asked, with a little bit of hesitance in his voice.
That's a long story.
Bucky muttered, tracing the hand through Clint's hair and watching Matt soothe Jackie when her bottle was truly empty and she started to fuss again.
It's a good story, though.
Matt chuckled softly.
But if you want to hear it, you have to convince the only one here who's sober enough to remember all the details.
Bucky laughed, fondly shaking their head and sighing.
Fine, I'll tell you the story. But only if someone gets me another one of those cocktails.
Clint scrambled a little closer to Bucky, practically clinging to them and leaning his body against their legs to stop them from being able to get up themselves. Bucky just chuckled again, tracing their hand through his hair again.
I'm already making someone else get it, so you don't have to get up, darling.
You want another too, handsome?
Peter asked his partner, getting up from the ground laboriously but simply stroking Eddie's hand with his as the reporter tried to hold him back.
I'm fine, I can get a few drinks.
Yes, all right.
Eddie smiled.
But you should maybe...
I'm getting a mocktail, don't worry. I don't want to be dead tired and hungover for the interviews tomorrow.
Peter chuckled, swaying slightly as he stepped over Clint's feet and threw a look into the round.
Anything else?
I want coffee.
Clint all but whined, still clinging to Bucky, even though they had already assured him that they were not getting up.
I'll see what I can do.
Peter laughed, throwing a glance in the other three's direction. Yelena and Kate simply reacted by gesturing with their still half full glasses of Coke, and Matt shook his head, his eyes closed tiredly.
Good.
A moment later, Peter came back, balancing three glasses and a mug on a tray in one hand while using his crutches with the other. He handed Bucky their cocktail and Clint the coffee. The archer giggled happily, which made Matt hum fondly in response.
Thank you, Petey.
Bucky smiled, fondly tracing the hand over Clint's shoulder as they took a sip of their drink. In the meantime, Peter had sat down, cuddling against his partner again and expectantly looking at Bucky.
All right.
Bucky chuckled, shifting to lean against the wall more comfortably.
I'll tell you the story.
They ran their metal hands through their hair and hummed quietly for a moment, thinking.
Okay, so it all began when I was still a Winter Soldier. Clint was already an Avenger, Matt was just a normal lawyer. Hydra had decided to put me up to a test to see if my programming had actually worked as well as they hoped. So they sent me to kill Steve. To kill the first man I've ever loved.
Bucky sighed shakily and took a second to center themselves.
As we all know, lucky, it didn't work. Seeing Steve, seeing him, Grace let me kill him because he refused to fight me. He broke me out.
Eddie nodded while Kate softly rested an arm around Yelena's waist and brushed a kiss on her head.
But seeing Steve, it wasn't the only thing. It was seeing the whole team, seeing them work together and trust each other, even as the world is ending. It reminded me of my team. It reminded me of the team I'd died for.
Finn sat up a little, the coffee doing its part to sober him up, and he traced the calming hand over Bucky's leg.
I don't think they need all the details if you don't want to talk about it, honey.
Bucky nodded and studied him for a moment. Then they sighed, taking a sip of their cocktail before continuing.
Nice little clean.
Clint blushed, making Bucky chuckle in a fond way, even if it was laced with some of the pain of the memories.
He broke something in my mind. And as a brainwashed killer, that was a good thing. I didn't go back to Hydra after that fight. I didn't leave Steve and Clint to die, even if a part of me still wanted to.
I still appreciate that a lot.
Steve had appeared half behind Clint and Bucky, one arm around Tony's waist. The engineer was leaning against his boyfriend tiredly, still only drinking soda instead of the scotch he used to always have in his tumbler.
Drowning doesn't really sound like a fun way to die.
Shut up, Stevie.
Bucky glared at him upside down.
I don't even know if I did it for you.
Ooh. Yelena and Kate huddled quietly, earning themselves an irritated glare from Matt and a chuckle from Eddie and Peter.
God, I wish I could be drunk right now.
Steve rolled his eyes.
Me too.
Tony just muttered, taking a sip of his Dr. Pepper and letting Steve guide him across the roof to his wife.
Sorry.
Steve whispered, brushing a kiss on his temple.
I would be drinking soda for you, even if I could get drunk.
Becky shook their head to clear it, then took another sip and continued.
Well, that shit happened. But when they found me again and told me they needed my help, I just knew I had to do it. It wasn't a choice to be made. I owed it to them.
Clint looked up at them.
You didn't...
Bucky just shook their head.
I did. And I don't regret it.
Clint nodded, understanding.
During that fight, seeing everyone in action, seeing Clint in action, I knew I needed to fix my brain.
Clint leaned against him again, tracing a subtle pattern on the fabric of their skirt. Bucky ran a hand through his hair again, continuing their story.
It took a while, but through all of it, I wasn't alone. Sure, Steve and the rest of the team were there. Bruce and Nat did wonders with making me feel less like a monster. Tony made sure my arm was safe to use.
They looked down at Clint and smiled again.
But this idiot here, he made me feel human. He took me where I was. He helped me figure out who I used to be and where I wanted to go. And finally, he accepted that while I do love him, I can't do relationships. Not then, not now, maybe never.
I still enjoyed the time we had.
Clint looked up at Bucky from where he was still wrapped up in their jacket and with their arm around his shoulder. Then his gaze wandered to Matt and Jackie for a moment, then back to Bucky.
And I hope you're just as happy with the decision to break up as I am.
I am.
Bucky smiled, brushing a strand of sweaty hair back of Clint's face.
It was a good decision for me not to join you idiots out there.
Just because you're not fighting doesn't mean you don't save people, though.
Peter said, one hand absentmindedly tracing over the edge where the tape on his chest was lifting slightly under the see-through shirt.
I don't know if I would still be here if it wasn't for your bar.
I know that my life would be a whole lot less fun.
Eddie chuckled, softly resting his hand on Peter's and redirecting the fidgeting to one of the keychains dangling from his suit.
I definitely wouldn't have such a hot boyfriend.
They're right, Bucks.
Matt smiled, pulling the blanket tighter around himself and Jackie.
A lot of us wouldn't be here today if you hadn't made the choice to give us a safe place to just exist.
You're cold.
And sat up all the way, studying Matt and the way he was sunken together around their daughter.
We should go inside.
Can we just cuddle?
Matt asked quietly.
And maybe another blanket?
Yeah.
Clint nodded, crawling over to Matt again and taking the jacket off to wrap it around his shoulder.
I'll get us another blanket.
Bucky was faster, already handing him a soft blue blanket and marveling at how quickly he had changed from the silly drunk to a caring partner and father.
Maybe we should move to one of the fires. It's getting pretty cold out here.
I think we're gonna call it a night, though.
Clint answered after exchanging a look with Yelena.
We had a really long day.
Text us when you get home.
Bucky said, almost out of habit, as the two women got up, stumbling a little as the alcohol hit them again.
We'll be fine, Buck.
Yelena winked, flashing a knife she had hidden in the pride version of her uniform.
I know you can defend yourself, Miss Widow. Please text us when you're home safe anyway.
Bucky rolled their eyes, carefully catching Matt's arm when he swayed a little while getting up.
You good?
Yeah.
Matt nodded, carefully cradling his daughter.
Just my balance that's a little messed up.
You sure you don't want to go inside?
Then ask gently.
You're overwhelmed, and we didn't get much sleep.
I'm okay, Clint.
Matt insisted.
I promise. I don't want to go yet.
Okay.
Clint nodded.
Can I take Jackie, please?
Yeah.
Matt nodded, shaking slightly when Clint took the little bundle.
Thank you, honey.
Clint brushed a kiss on his cheek.
Let's get you warmed up.
Chapter 9. Magic.
Hey, Bucks.
Pepper sat down next to Bucky when the night started to turn to early morning and the roof was almost empty.
Hey, Pep.
Bucky offered a tired smile, pulling the blanket closer around them as Matt's shoulders before their gaze wandered back across the roof to where Loki was showing off her magic to Charles and Eric.
You want to talk about it?
Pepper nudged the ex-soldier gentle with an elbow covered in her own blanket.
Hmm?
Bucky looked at her, confused.
You've been staring at Loki changing her shape and appearance for close to an hour now. But you won't go over there and join them. This isn't just fascination with magic you don't quite understand, is it?
Bucky shook their head and looked down at their lab for a long moment. When they looked up again, Pepper could spot tears in Bucky's eyes, even if they didn't fall.
You're always taking care of everyone who needs you.
Pepper told them softly.
I can't even count how many different strangers you made feel welcome and seen today. Maybe it's your turn to be taken care of now.
Bucky scoffed.
Oh, Bucky.
Pepper sighed worriedly, turning so she was fully facing them.
Is that what this is all about? You feel guilty for needing our help?
No. Yes. Maybe. I don't know.
Bucky admitted.
I just want to feel useful, you know? Without hurting people.
Bucky looked up at her from where they were leaning on their knees now.
It works. I can help people. Do something I like, unless always being a real asshole. I don't even have to raise my voice.
I'm glad you found that.
Pepper smiled, lightly tracing a hand over the back and offering comfort.
But you deserve comfort too. You deserve someone who listens to you and helps you find the right path too. Even if you already made it through extremely dark times.
Bucky nodded weakly, not looking up.
Your bar is a safe place for everyone who needs it, and you are a safe person for every single soul that walks into that bar.
Pepper continued.
Take a moment, just one moment, to let someone be that for you.
It took a moment longer until Bucky could truly slip out of their role and let themselves be vulnerable enough. But when they did, and tears started spilling, Pepper was there to catch them.
Shh, it's okay.
She muttered, wrapping her arms around them as Bucky cried silently.
It's okay, you're safe.
For a few moments, Bucky just sat by the fire, wrapped up in soft fabric in Pepper's embrace, letting the tension and frustration that had built over hours and days, maybe even weeks and months, out.
You want to talk now?
Pepper asked when the soldiers sat up on their own again, using the corner of the blanket to wave away their tears. Bucky didn't answer immediately. Instead, their gaze fell across the roof again, where Loki was still putting on a show, making the two mutants laugh in delight as she changed her hair and clothes, or even her entire appearance, seemingly without limitations.
I'm jealous.
They finally muttered.
Jealous?
Pepper seemed surprised and confused for a moment until her gaze followed Bucky's to the other three.
Of Charles and Eric? Or of Loki?
Loki.
Bucky admitted.
Oh, well, both, I guess. But it's my decision not to be in a relationship. So that part is probably more loneliness than actual jealousy.
Shape-shifting is pretty cool.
Pepper agreed.
Being able to change her appearance, be whatever she wants, whatever she feels like that day.
Bucky nodded, running a hand through the hair and fiddling with the already partially open braids.
Makes the whole gender bullshit a whole lot easier.
Pepper continued, stroking over the fabric of her dress.
That doesn't sound like something a cis woman would say.
Bucky chuckled weakly, throwing her a glance.
It's less that I'm not a woman and more that the whole concept of how society perceives gender is just messed up.
Pepper chuckled, studying Loki.
I like being a woman. I like having a daughter. I even like my job. Doing the background work, doing the things that I'm good at, the organising, the planning. I like all of it. I hate it when people decide that's all I'm good for, because I'm a woman.
Bucky nodded.
I hate that people assume just anything because of what gender they perceive someone as the first time they see them.
I hate that people take one look at me and see the beard, strong jaw, and straight frame,
Maybe they even give it long enough to hear my voice. But either way, they take one look at me and decide who I am. They just decide, and it doesn't matter what I think or who I am.
Becky stared at their mismatched hands.
They see James Bond. They see the Winter Soldier. If I'm lucky, they just see some random guy with a bar. But they never see me. They never see Bucky.
You show them who you are.
Pepper told them.
You're Bucky. You're the safest person in this whole damn city. You have saved every single one of our heroes.
Yeah, the man who saves the city. One queer hero at a time.
Bucky quoted a recent headline, glaring at Pepper for a moment.
Even the fucking queer press misgenders me.
And over 100 people messaged them for it to be corrected before you even knew about it.
Pepper reminded them.
You built one of the biggest offline support systems there are. And we've got your back, too.